All right, good afternoon, everyone. We are going to open up our good morning, everyone. We're going to open up our press conferences here at Michigan International Speedway with Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 for Team Penske. We're just going to get right to questions. So if you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you, and you can get started. We'll start with Bob here in the front.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. So what was hotter after the race, the inside of the car with the fire or the driver chat and talking about your move after the race?
Oh, there's plenty of talking everywhere. It wasn't just my move, Bob. There's plenty of moves out there that was going on. So, yeah, lots to talk about from last weekend. Definitely very eventful. A turn one like that in a late race restarts, you can kind of see what's going to happen, and you know, if you're not the one making the move's going to be made on you, and you kind of get put in a spot, I think, as a, you know, as the whole field kind of gets put in a spot when you have a turn one that's like that. So just a eventful race at the end there, with everyone seeing an opportunity to gain a lot of spots, and big moves happen.
You know what happened with the fire in your car after the race, and anything that can be done in the future about it?
Yeah, it's definitely something we need to look into. Seems like the same thing that happened to my car happened to Buescher's car, with the exhaust kind of getting pushed back into the rocker and essentially melting the panels around there and then lighting the foam up inside the door. So obviously we need to look into that. Learning curves with the race car, right? We still have a brand new race car that we're in our first year in still. We haven't got to the playoffs yet, and interesting things are happening as we go along, and it's hard to call what they're going to be until it happens sometimes, right? It's how many times in racing have we said, boy, I've never seen that before, and we've been doing this forever. You know, we still say that. So definitely some new things there. Considering it happened to a few cars, I'd say it needs to probably move up the list of figuring out how to figure out a fix to that. You know, because we don't really want the cars burning up from the inside. I don't want a flammable race car. So if we can figure out how to fix that, it'd be great.
Go to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Just to carry on that, I don't recall seeing something like that this year. Have you guys had an issue like that or anybody else seen? I know you kind of do a lot of safety stuff with the Driver Advisory Council.
It's the first I've heard of it. I don't believe it's the first time it happened from the group chat. It seems like it may have happened before, maybe one time, but you can see how it happens. You know, now that it happened, you can really kind of dissect it. And I think there's a fairly easy fix to it, I think. But we just all got to, you know, put our heads together and figure out ways to implement the rule and how everyone's going to move forward with that. It's not as easy as you may think to fix some of these things, right? It sounds simple, but when you have to fix 40 cars, right? It's not like we just got to fix the Penske cars from this. They're all the same, right? They're all built the same way. They're all going to, you know, move the same way from the exhaust standpoint into the rocker and all that. But so you got to fix it for everybody, and it all has to be done the same way. So it's a little bit more challenging these days, I think, than it used to be.
The Roval left. Watkins Glen certainly got a lot of runoff room. The Roval doesn't. Are those situations, those turn ones, I mean, basically going to be like Indianapolis? And is there a concern or anything that needs to be addressed before those events?
I mean, those racetracks don't seem to be you know, as much of a chaotic moment. I mean, it still is, right? There's still opportunity to go. There's three wide at Watkins Glen for sure. I think with Indy, what you see is there's six lanes wide across the racetrack, and then it funnels down to three or two, right, by the time you go through one and two, right? So it gets very wide, where, like, Road America is a similar situation, but the track's only paved three lanes wide from grass to grass. Like, that's all you can fit in the first place. So it kind of keeps everybody somewhat in line. But when you have a track that wide, that funnels big, the opportunity to gain a few spots in the braking zone is there, and so everyone kind of just goes where somebody isn't and just gets wider, and then it turns into a mess when it gets to the funnel part of it. Where Watkins Glen, you know, three lanes is all you got there, so you have a similar situation as you did at Road America. you know, the Roval, we've already seen where that can be a challenging piece there, you know, whether it's on the front row or it's in the 15th row, it's kind of hard to say. But it gets, you know, 3-4 lanes wide and then funnels down that chute to turn two. So you may have a similar situation there. But I don't see us doing anything different for those. I think it just is what it is.
Last thing, there's been different people reference the driver chat this week. And obviously that's a tool that's there every week. But the discussion that's out there in terms of aggressive driving, is that more of an issue? Is it getting to a point of like a crisis among the drivers, what people are doing, or is it just more of a concern? Obviously there's a lot more talk about it right now after last week, and understandably so. Where is this in the big picture of things? Is this a major issue that you guys are facing, or is this just 1 week and it's on to something else?
It's 1 week. It's 1 week and a racetrack that's asking for it, right? Like I said, turn one is it's just asking for it. It'd be like us going to Sonoma and looking at turn 11 as turn one, right? You would go barreling out in there and it would be a mess, right? Well, Indy's that's kind of what happens in turn one for us. I think it's more this year than last year because the cars are more durable. Right, last year you didn't want to push a fender in, you get more fender rubs, those type of things. Everyone has realized at this point that a little bit harder to cut down a tire, bodies are pretty tough, and so contact isn't that bad. That is the number one thing we asked for when we built this next gen car, was a more durable race car to where we can bump and bang more. We got it. So, and now we're going to complain? Like, we asked for it. The fans asked for it. Everybody asked for it. You know, everyone in here thought about it. So it's just the fact that everyone's just going to complain, period. Just, that's it. Doesn't matter what we do. Someone's going to complain. It's just life at this point. Everybody has something to complain about instead of looking at the positives. Yep.
Larry Lage from AP. Ford has had a lot of success at this track, and yet this season, not as much success. How much does that give you optimism and just thoughts on the new car and tires making their debut here?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, it seems like short tracks have been a little bit more of our wheelhouse these days with the next gen car for, well, I know I could find six different reasons. I know the reasons, but hopefully that you know, this racetrack is you know, falls into our wheelhouse from an engine perspective. It seems like a lot of times that's why we've seen so much success here, is that the Roush Yates power, especially on the top end, has been pretty good, as this racetrack kind of falls there for us. So I think that's been a good thing. So hopefully that's a big deal when we get out there. You know, and it's, this is one of those racetracks where it just takes everything. You know, you got to have power. You got to have the right amount of downforce, the right amount of drag out of it. You got to hit that balance just right. You got to call the race just right. You know, so Michigan's still Michigan. I don't see that being very different than what it's been in the past. Now, how we get to those points is different, but I think the goals when you're building the car is still the same. Now, what exactly is the right balance? I don't think we know until we race. You know, even after practice, you may not have the perfect car, and you won't know that until the race starts.
Go to Daniel McFadden over there.
Daniel McFadden, FrenchRush.com. Joey, Brad Keselowski, he called this race a wild card earlier this week, given just the next-gen car, the resin on the track and stuff like that. And I don't think I've ever heard Michigan described as a wild card before. How have you guys been approaching this race, and how applicable is what you learned from Auto Club back in February applicable to this race, given like the difference just within the surface of the tracks?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a solid point. The surface of the track makes them so different. You know, the shape and the size is the same, but once you get past that, it's very different, right? This track's very smooth, not much tire wear. You don't have all the seams across. Like, Fontana is its own. That's its own thing. Michigan's its own track. I don't think there's much that actually crosses over from a setup perspective. You know, you look at the on-throttle time at Fontana compared to Michigan, it's a lot different just because there's more grip here. So I don't know if I'd call it quite a wild card. It has the opportunity to be that, right? It has. We've seen Michigan turn into fuel mileage before. We've seen different strategies work here because the lack of tire fall off, where somebody may take a chance and get themselves up there at the end of the race somehow. We've seen wild restarts here. I mean, you're going to see that again. I don't see where it's different than what it's been in the past. I guess there's a possibility for a wild card winner, possibly. I don't think it's likely. I think probably the same guys that you see have been fast the last few weeks are probably going to be pretty quick.
Stay over here on the right.
Hi, Joey. I'm Nathan Buckley of NBS Speedway. I'm going to build off what this gentleman asked about with the Ford's kind of statistically struggling. Obviously, Michigan is right in the backyard of Ford Motor Company, and obviously the Fords always seem to do something big for you Ford drivers. Is there a special bond going into this weekend, kind of a work-together mentality, or is it more kind of on a separate team basis?
It's the same as it's always been. There is a certain level that the teams feel comfortable working together with on certain things, and that's the same every weekend, whether it's Michigan or the next race, like wherever. It's all the same. There's a certain amount of information that everyone feels comfortable sharing. And then there's also a point that we need to race each other. And everyone kind of knows where those lines are. It doesn't make it different that we're at Michigan or any other track because this is Ford's backyard. It's the same no matter where we're at. So it just happened to work out to where this track in the past really fell into our wheelhouse to where we were really strong here. So, and not saying it's not going to this time. It may. There's definitely some things in our cars that I think favor this racetrack. There's some things I think may not. So we'll see how it balances out.
Jordan Bianchi in the back.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. You were at the Henry Ford Museum the other day. I was wondering what your thoughts on that were and what stood out to you.
Alex, it was fun. A lot of my kids crying is what stood out to me. it was fun, though. We came up early and went through the village outside and then went to Henry Ford Museum. And it was a lot of fun, actually. We went for the train ride and did the Model T rides. My son wanted to go on a Model T ride so bad. I said, you know, we can do this at home. Like, we're waiting in line. Like, we could drive to the car home. But he was all about it. He had fun. Jameson likes trains, so he was all about that. Amelia was happy just riding along in the cart. So it was cool, though. I've really enjoyed going there, a few times now. Just the history that has been preserved there is incredible. I don't think I've been anywhere else that's like that, where we may not have had the chance to read a lot because we were chasing kids and feeding kids and changing diapers and that whole nine. But in times in the past there, it's been fun to just look at not only the cars, but all the other things that are in there. It's just nuts to think that all of it's sitting in one place, right? And you look at some of those historic buildings, how they took them apart and rebuilt them there. It's just incredible and really cool that was able to happen, right? Like, someone took the time and dedicated their life to building that thing, right? That's pretty spectacular.
Kind of following up on that, was there any artifacts that really jumped out to you or any of the cars that were there that really, like, wow, that's, I can't believe that?
I was hoping my championship car was still there because it has been there and I just changed it out. So I let my son down. I told him, Daddy's race car's in there. No, it wasn't. So, there's so much. It's hard to pick one thing, right? Like, you need 2 full days to do it right, is what I think. You get to really take your time and do it. We didn't quite get to, like I said, to read everything. We went for all the rides, which was good.
Any final questions for Joey? No? Thank you, Joey. Best luck this weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.